the whole person. We started three weeks ago, we started talking about spirit, soul and body. We said that just as Ariel had taken us through the Trinity earlier in the year, we were recognizing that we are a tripartite being, that we're not a Trinity like God, but we are a trichotomy. That's one word for you, put in your diary or in your dictionary. Spirit, soul and body in the original Greek are pneuma, psuche and soma. Psuche, we normally spell it with a Y in England, but the strict Greek transliteration is to have a U there. Pneuma is all to do with the spirit and all to do with the wind and breath. And psuche is to do with the soul, the inner man. And we're going to talk about that today. And soma is to do with the body. So we must learn to look after all three, is what we said the first week. And last week we talked, the last time I spoke to you, we talked about the power of the eyes and about exercising self-control over our sex drives. So today's word is, if we're in the Old Testament, nephesh. In the New Testament, psuche. And nephesh literally means living being. And you'll recognize that because in Genesis 2 verse 7 it says, then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. Right, can anybody tell me where we've got body, soul and spirit in that verse? Come on, it's not that hard. Body is there because God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Spirit is there because God breathed spirit into him. And the man became a living being. And that's this word nephesh, which is the word that we would otherwise translate as soul. So there you've got the tripartite nature of man in one verse. So in the New Testament, we've got this word psuche, which is Greek, and it simply means the inner personal life. So can you see that nephesh and psuche mean similar things? So nephesh means living being, psuche means inner personal life. Okay? And I think it's important that we recognize there's a difference between soul and spirit. The Bible wouldn't list them separately in the same sentence if there wasn't a difference. So we're going to look at that today. And Matthew 10 verse 28 gives us a great example of the word psuche. It says, don't fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the psuche. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both psuche and soma in hell. So these are two different entities, and we're going to focus largely on psuche today. Okay, so it doesn't matter whether you're reading the Old Testament or the New Testament. The truth is that your soul is what makes you a living being. It's worth thinking that about that. It really is. It's worth, when you get home, it's worth getting a cup of tea, or if you're a lot more like me, a very cold drink. And just sitting there with it and thinking, what did Stephen say about soul today? I hope it sinks in. So the soul is what makes you live, but the soul is the driver of your body. Your body is alive because of your soul, but your soul is, if you like, the driver of your body. So, the human self. Oh, you will notice on the screen there, two souls next to each other. Thank you. your inner life as a person is mind, emotions, will, memory, identity. We use all of these words, but all of them are part of a representation of what our soul does for us. And, you know, medically, nobody has ever identified a thing called the soul, but we aren't talking medically, we're talking theologically. We're talking in God talk. And God seems to want us to understand this, so we've got to make a little bit of an effort to try and march through this and get a grip on it. So the soul is you as a conscious moral agent. Now, I like this. Firstly, we're conscious. I don't think we've anybody who's dropped to sleep yet, which is good, because it is a trifle warm, and in keeping with the regulations of the community centre, we haven't got the big doors open, which I would personally love to open them today. But as a trustee, I of all people have to make sure that we're keeping the rules. But you know, I am still conscious, and I am glad I'm conscious. And some of you wish I was asleep right now, but you'll just have to wait. That happens when I get home after I've preached. But also, our soul is the moral agent. Your body isn't moral. Your spirit isn't actually moral either. It's your soul that's the moral agent. It's what drives you on to do what is right. And where we've got conscious, we've also got conscience. And the two work together so that we have a moral agency within our body. I don't know if any of you noticed, but towards the end of Mary's reading, it said that, in fact, let me read it to you because I'll get it right then. It says this: no creature is hidden from God, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Can you think of the first person that ever had to give an account to God and they were naked? It's interesting, isn't it? We're on this subject and it keeps popping up on the page. The fact is that Adam and Eve, when they'd eaten the fruit that was forbidden, recognized their nakedness. And still to this day, we are naked before God. Most of you are quite delighted that I am not naked before you. And if I'm honest, I'm quite delighted with that as well. And as I'm looking out at you, I am also quite delighted that you are not naked before me. But we are naked before God, to whom we will give an account, it says in Hebrews. So this is all part of this. Now, here's a question for you. Why do some people love getting drunk or getting high on drugs? And I'm going to give you the answer so that you aren't sat there for 15 minutes, because I've got lights on here and I need to get through. So, is that you, Lord? Oh, sorry, just checking. Because it lets your body drive without a chaperone. I was listening to someone talking to me only last week, and they said, "Oh, I had a great night out." Mind you, I don't remember anything about it. And you know, that's the reality, that when we take substances which our body was never really designed to take such a large quantity of, that it leaves our body without a chaperone. It leaves our body without a moral agent. And so just bear that in mind. Listen, this is not a church where we say you shouldn't drink. I do have to say, this is a church where we do suggest that recreational drugs are not good for you. In fact, any drugs that are not prescribed are not good for you. But when we're talking about booze, let me tell you this. Anything that is in excess is bad for you. And you can't tell me that Jesus didn't approve of a little wine. Firstly, Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake.
My mother used to want to know, did he want him to rub it on?
Oh, well, that's one for you. But Jesus certainly provided an ample supply of good wine for a wedding. And so all I'm saying to you is excess is not good for you, all right? So, living as a human in the real world. This is the real world, isn't it, Elsie?
Definitely.
This is the real world. Some people say, this is ever since the Matrix movies, you've got people saying, I think we're living in the Matrix. And come on, you know, goodness gracious me. I mean, some people think E.T., which was a family film, was actually telling a real story that happened that the American government had hidden from the people. Lord help us. Lord help us. Phone home. But we are living as humans in the real world, and being conscious is the way we experience life. Now, occasionally you hear of people who have had a terrible accident and they have been in hospital for months upon months upon months. There was this story of this man who had been unconscious in hospital. I think it was for 5 years. And one day he woke up. And they had thought about switching him off a number of occasions. And he said to them, I remember when you were stood by my bed trying to dispersuade each other to turn me off. He says, I shall never forget that. But he had been aware. He had been aware. And don't forget that when you're with loved ones who are seriously ill, talk to them. You know, you have no idea how aware they are. Be there for people. It's very important. A pastor I had when I was very young came to see me. I had got acute tonsillitis. I had I was hallucinating. My temperature was so high. It was not very comfortable. And all he did was sit there in the room. And I thought, what on earth are you playing at? I can't speak. You won't speak. But do you know what? I learned something from that visit, because he simply sat with me. And actually, that was a very helpful thing. So, our body is conscious of the world. So when Arielle comes up to me, as she does from time to time, and pinches me, and I go, ooh, I am conscious of the world through my body, right?
Yeah.
You've got that. Our soul is self-conscious. Our soul is not aware consciously of this world. Our soul is aware consciously, is consciously aware, or something like that, of ourself. Mm-hmm. Our soul is ourself. Ourself is recognized as soul. And our spirit is the part of us that is God conscious. So can you see, spirit, soul, and body are all conscious, but they're conscious of different elements. And this is why, if we try to knock our soul down a dark alley, or if we try to ignore our spirit, that to do that, we are cutting ourselves off from total consciousness. So I would suggest to you, make room for all three. Okay, so how do we manage the soul? Now, last time we talked, we really talked about managing the body. So today we're going to talk about managing the soul. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, the word that's translated there is the word cardia. I think we may have people in the room that understand what cardia is. Yeah. We understand that cardia is the word for heart. But also, it's a word that has alternative meanings. We talk about the heart of a man or the heart of a woman. And this heart, we're really talking about our soul. And whereas the word in the Greek is a different word, it is cardia, it still means the inner person. The inner person is what psuche means. So these two words are very, very similar. It is true to say that if your heart was exposed, and let's hope it was still beating at the time, I don't know, but that would be your cardia, not your psuche. But when the Bible is talking about your inner person, it could be talking with that word cardia or that word psuche. So it's still the inner you. And what Mary read to us in Hebrews 4 was this message about do not harden your hearts. If you want to read about hardening hearts, read about Pharaoh in Exodus. It's the most excellent example of anybody who ever hardened their hearts to God. And hardening your heart or your soul can be just as fatal as hardening of the arteries. I do live in a family that's vaguely medical. And I do hear this for hardening of the arteries. You hear it on the telly, you know, it's a common phrase. But just as hardened arteries can be fatal to you, so can hardening your heart, because you are trying to block your soul from consciousness. You are trying to block your conscience from consciousness. And that's very important that we don't do these things. So Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this: for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit. Now, you know, because we mentioned this before, soul and spirit, people do get mixed up sometimes. But the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, is able to divide the clear cut-off line between soul and spirit. So just ask God to show you in the word, and he will make it clear, and you don't need to panic whether this is your soul or your spirit. It also applies to joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the cardia, the heart, the soul. You can see this is all the same thing, can't you? And no creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I can only suggest to you that when I read about Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, seeing that they were naked, and then I read this verse, I can only say that God is still wanting to put things right. He is still wanting to make the tripartite nature of man well balanced. He is still wanting to bless you and help you and help you respond to him appropriately, as well as to the world and to yourself. So allow the word of God to speak in your soul. It knows where the dividing line is with your spirit, and will allow excuse me, and will allow communion with God. Then the word and spirit together minister to the inner person. This is such an important reality that we must grasp. We must understand that the Word will minister to you. So, here I have the Word. This is the Bible that I don't want to throw out, but is dropping apart at the moment. In fact, I can see all of you through there. This is a wonderful Bible. I've had it for I bought this in 2005. Fantastic Bible. It's been my daily Bible. It's been my preaching Bible. I love this Bible, but it is more or less done. But the words on the pages are not done. They are still ever so effective. And when I open this Bible, I feel slightly nostalgic because I remember the times the Word has ministered to me through its pages. And I want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Which is why I'm still hanging on to it. I have just bought a new Bible, which is to replace it. And I was going to bring it today, but I thought, no, I'll give it another week. Give it another week. You understand where I am with that. But allowing the Word of God to speak to your soul, it's so important. And I don't want to get all heavy with you, but opening your Bible once a day to read a section is really good for you. Because you're allowing the Word to separate between soul and spirit, body and sinew or whatever, marrow. It's great because you're exposing to your body what it needs to be healed. Our bodies can be healed by the exposure to the Word of God. And I just want to say to you, don't try to argue with that or understand it even too much. Just choose to believe it. Just choose to believe it, and it will do you good. Even the yellow lamp has not come up. Yeah. So I think we should now spend 10 minutes just crying out to God, thank you, Lord, that Pastor has managed to preach for less than 30 minutes. No. What I want you to do today, thank you, that's, I've got 7.5 minutes now, so I can pray with you for 7.5 minutes. What is really good is for us to understand that the Word wants to be part of our lives, separating between the parts, ministering to us, and God wants to commune with us. And next time I talk to you, we will talk about spirit. And we will talk about how that communion changes our lives. So right now, we're going to pray. Father God, we thank you that you want our whole spirit, soul and body to be kept sound and blameless. And Lord, we just pray that today you would help us to grasp this wonderful truth that if we don't harden our hearts, you will speak to us through your Word. And Lord, we just want to expose our hearts, our souls to you. And we want to say, God, would you do in us what needs to be done? Would you bring about change? Lord, as we submit to you, would you bring about transformation? We ask, Father, that we might fully know you and be known by you in every sense of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.